Get ready. It's time for
Operation Late Night Excitement.
Top rated in late night radio.
The awesomest night of all time.
After dark.
It's Late Night with Hancock and Kelly.
You deserve a fun night.
On King of OX.
Happy Monday evening, everyone. It's Hancock and Kelly for Late Night with Hancock and Kelly for the last time for a while. Cardinals baseball going to be coming your way on Monday evening.
Yeah, the Cardinals play many Monday nights throughout the season, and so our appearances here will be sparse.
And
we've enjoyed our time here with Matt Pajeski behind the board over here. And Sean Michael Lyle.
Is there any better segment in radio in the country than the segment we do with Sean Michael Lyle?
No.
Yeah. Wait till you hear what he's got in store for you this evening.
It's just unbelievable.
You're going to have
906.
We are going to have a good time and goof around like we normally do. As many of you know that we do Monday nights. We try to stay away from politics, but yet another mass shooting has happened. Our 129th mass shooting of the year to take place in Nashville, Tennessee. A young person walked in with two semi-automatic weapons, or AR, whatever they call them, John, and a gun, wound up killing three children and three adults. No question. I don't know if there were others that were injured. It took place at a Christian school down in Nashville. And so begins the script that typically happens. The Democrats, including myself, will say, why aren't we doing something? And the Republicans will say mental health, video games, and everything else, and there's no way of turning the sand back on this gun stuff. And here we sit again, my friend.
Yeah, and this one really hits close to home for me, Michael. It was the Covenant Presbyterian Christian School outside of Nashville. It's my denomination, the Presbyterian Church of America. And, you know, these are people that the folks that run that church that I've met over the years. They go to Presbytery meetings. They go to the General Assembly meeting every year. It's a big church, very large church there in outside of Nashville. And like my own church here, Covenant Presbyterian Church in St. Louis, they have a grade school, as we do as well. And so it really, really kind of strikes close to home. My own children attended a Christian grade school much like this. And, you know, originally the reporting on these things, you know, as it comes out, the things you assume are usually not true. But there was an assumption that there was an unlocked door that turns out not to be the case. The shooter shot their way through the locked doorway and then went into the church and began shooting up the church, and then made their way to the school, where three adults in their 60s, three children, two 9-year-olds, one 8-year-old, were slain, and just a horrific, unspeakable, despicable tragedy.
And this comes on the heels of the latest information that more children in our country die of gun wounds than anything else.
Yeah.
There was a 14 automobile accidents. That includes any type of health situation. It's these gun shootings that just continue to be a problem in the United States. Doesn't seem to be that pervasive throughout the world, though.
No, you have very rare and random incidents of mass shootings in Europe and different places, but nothing on the order that we see them here. And it's almost as if the celebrity of it all has taken on a life of its own, and you have these people. This particular shooter was transitioning, I guess, from male to female. You know, when the initial reports,
female to male,
it was,
yeah, transitioning from female to male.
Oh, okay, I had that wrong. You know, when the original messaging came out that it was a 28-year-old female shooter, I thought, I can't think of another mass shooting that was committed by a female unless they were part of a jihad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had those. We had the one in California several years ago. And I kind of jumped to that conclusion that this must be some kind of a Islamic thing because it was a Christian school. Well, it turns out the shooter was transitioning from female to male and had attended this school as a young child and selected it for that very reason. And, you know, it's just horrific.
Yeah, and true to script, the President of the United States spoke at the White House today, called on Congress to continue to push the assault weapons ban, something that expired in 1994, John. Wasn't a problem back then. I don't understand why we as a society can't realize that these weapons that are made for one purpose and one purpose only, which is to kill human beings, really serve no purpose, even under the Second Amendment, as far as I'm concerned. You know, they're used to kill people in places of war. And we've now decided that those are weapons that people should be able to have inside their own home. I don't get it.
Yeah. And, you know, you've got the gun issue out there. Clearly there's a mental health, angle. Anytime.
There's sick people, though, throughout the world, though, John, aren't there? I mean, mental health is not unique to the United States.
Right.
It's happening in Germany and France. They don't have mass shootings. Why is that?
Yeah, well,
they don't have guns.
Yeah. You know, this person with a handgun could have, you know, maybe done. But, no, I hear what you're saying. And, you know, would banning semi-automatic weapons have an effect on these things? It might.
It did in the past.
It might. Well, but, you know, we never had mass shootings in these numbers, even when the semi-automatic weapons were available and legal prior to the 1990s. We didn't have these kinds of shootings. So there's a cultural component to this thing as well. And, it, you know, it's horrific. I remember distinctly being on this airwave with you on a Sunday afternoon, the 2 days after the Sandy Hook shooting took place at a grade school. Very unusual for grade schools to be the focus of these mass shooters, but
I really thought after that one we would do something.
Yeah,
I mean, what was it, 20 babies?
Yeah,
that were slaughtered.
Yeah,
and since then, and Sandy Hook continues to be a narrative. I mean, it's a word in our lexicon, like almost any other thing. We all know what when we mention the word Sandy Hook, we know what it means. And I really thought we would do some stuff after that. In fact, you know, you're right about the mass shootings not happening that often. And you and I spent a week on the radio.
Yeah.
Because it was close to Christmas. And that would have been the time that you and I'd be on a lot. And all we did was talk about this shooting. It seems now, I mean, we've had it in our own community since then.
Right.
This year.
Right.
It's happened in our own community. I think nearly every major city and pretty much mid-sized towns throughout the country have all had to embrace this slogan of St. Louis strong and Sandy Hook strong and Orlando strong. I don't know. Kind of feel like the president's going to say the same thing he normally says. Mitch McConnell and the Republicans will say what they said, which is, you know, mental health and guns don't kill people. People kill people. And we'll go down the road until, I don't know, next month till we have another one.
Or sooner. There's been 100 of them so far in 2023. And what we're in March, the, what are we, the 26th, 25th, whatever it is today?
7th.
Oh, wow. It is the 26th.
Opening day on Thursday.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's awful and it's tragic. And, you know, the question, I guess, is it preventable? Is it avoidable?
Is this fixable?
And,
is the question.
I don't know that it is.
So you know? I guess we're never going to put the genie back into the bottle. We don't get to go back to the 90s. Kids
right.
who are growing up right now, babies who are being born have to be born into a society in America where we say there's just nothing we can do about this, huh?
Yeah. I think you could ban the guns. You could put red flag laws, all of those things you could put in place and are you going to stop the mass shootings? I
probably put a dent in them.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think you're going to end them, regrettably. And there's just, you know, a lot of people that do have them. Clearly, this shooter was dealing with
all of them.
Massive. Yes, they have to be. They
right.
have to be.
I mean, who in their right mind? And obviously,
right.
the reporting coming out of Tennessee from the police was that there was maps. This was mapped out. It reminds me of a Columbine, you know, and a manifesto. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems to just be the same script. I feel like we're going to play our same roles and everybody that, you know, is going to say the same things in a week will worry about what dress Kim Kardashian's wearing.
That's Michael Kelly. I'm John Hancock. Sad day in the United States. Six people shot dead at the Covenant Presbyterian Christian School outside of Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be back after this on KMOX.
About to be a great night.
Feeling good tonight.
Yeah, this is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on KMOX.
Monday.
I hate Mondays.
I love Mondays.
Of course you do. We talk about this
full
every week.
Possibilities Monday.
Yeah. Did you get through your little to-do list today?
Not quite.
Because on a Sunday evening.
But that's great because it's Monday.
Yeah. Because on a Sunday evening, you're known to sit down and write out
my
like
to-do
a to-do list.
I got poom, ba-doom, 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 ba-doom. There it is.
And did you get on it this morning?
I got on it this morning. And I ba-doom, ba-doom. And I still got a couple more ba-dooms to get to. But tomorrow's Tuesday, which is the great thing about Monday. If you get to Friday and your to-do list is still to-doing, you've not done what you should have been to-doing.
No, nobody does anything on Friday, so your to-do list has to be done by Thursday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless you've got deadlines, you know, in the meantime. For example, I've got a deadline for Wednesday morning that I'm going to have to fulfill tomorrow during the workday.
So you're going to hop up early tomorrow morning,
get up,
hit
I'm
that coffee?
Shoot out of bed. I'm going to pop the guy. I will make the coffee when I get home.
Uh-huh.
And then I will hit the button in the morning.
Yeah. What is that?
That's
that
coffee
snoring?
Brewing. That's a coffee.
Okay.
Coming through the little thing there. Through the multiple holes. I've got a coffee maker that's got, it's not just one little hole spitting the water in.
Why is that important?
Well, because you got to have the water distributed. And I got, you
otherwise
know,
it just
probably,
hits the same little
probably
grains.
I probably got 12 holes on that thing. And yeah. It's all water coming down. And
it bubbles up.
There it is. And it's going down into the carafe.
Uh-huh.
And
you drink the whole pot?
No.
Who does, so
I've been scaling back.
Do you and Georgianne tackle a whole pot together?
Well, we can come close. You know, she's not working anymore. She used to take a big one of those big travel mugs to work. And you know, that those
she's
days
working.
Are over.
She's a grandma.
She's a grandma. No, she does work, but she's not working at the job site.
Well, my to-do list this morning had a walk, and so I got up first thing in the morning. I went for a walk.
First thing you walked?
Yeah, and by the way, the trees are budding.
There they are.
You know, I don't know what those trees are that make little flowers that are so cute and
the
pretty.
The little helicopter things.
No, they're not helicopters. These are like pinkish, whitish flowers that'll soon fall off in a storm, and then leaves will come.
Oh, yeah, that's the
One. Uh-huh. Mr. Horticulture over there.
Yeah, well,
me knowing the name
of it? It's not a dogwood. It's a, it is a dogwood.
It's a dogwood.
And it's a dogwood,
is
Michael.
It is?
It's
dogwood.
Yeah, it's the official the official tree of Missouri, the dogwood.
But I noticed that on every car I walked by, I was walking on the streets, on the side streets this week, just covered in yellow. It's like this yellow film that's
pollen.
Is that what it is?
Yes, and it's terrible. And so my car, for the last several days...
You got a midnight blue car, right?
I do.
Yeah.
My car has been in the driveway instead of in the garage.
Oof, why?
Well, we've got this stuff. Rob is putting crown molding on the...
Oh, okay. You're doing some home maintenance or some home remodeling.
Whatever it is. Yeah. It's nice. And
what's more costly, the home maintenance or the teeth?
Well, the teeth are going to be a little more than the home maintenance, but not by a lot.
There you go.
So the car's out in the driveway because I let my lovely wife have the garage, which is very
well. That's what you should do. That's what they call chivalry.
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been shivving up there, and she's parking the car in the garage, and my car's out in the driveway getting all the yellow stuff
off. Yellow stuff.
And then the other thing is Sunday morning, because it was cold on Saturday night.
It was.
My windows were all steamed up.
Right.
That's horrible.
Yeah, this is that awkward time when tonight's a perfect example, right? Isn't it supposed to get cold this evening?
It is.
Yeah. It's supposed to be down in the 30s this evening. It was almost 65, 70 degrees. The first part of my morning I had was all bundled up.
Yeah.
Then in the afternoon I was out running stuff. I was in a T-shirt.
Well, and then so I had, because we were getting together before this, I knew that at some point tonight, I'm going to need a jacket.
Right.
So I just put the jacket on,
right,
you know, in the afternoon when I didn't need the jacket, but I had the jacket because I'm going to need the jacket. And that's right, kind of the way it goes.
When does this pollen stuff, I guess it's early, right? So this is when the trees are all out working.
Yeah, you're going to see the pollen is going to wrap up around May the 17th.
Is that
somewhere in there?
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, does the groundhog determine that? By the way, the groundhog was way off this year.
What does a groundhog know? Well, I mean, why do we pay attention?
About the same amount as a member of Congress, I think. Right?
Why do we even pay attention to the groundhog?
Yeah, well, because some cities made it a deal.
You're right. Yeah.
Punxsutawney, right? Isn't that
Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania.
Punxsutawney, Phil. I have not.
Me neither.
Yeah.
You've been to Pennsylvania?
I have been to Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh.
Several times. Been to Philly. Been to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's a cool town.
My album was headquartered in York, Pennsylvania.
Your what?
When I did my album, the guy that produced the record.
You did
company.
An album?
Yes, Michael.
Had this discussion.
We have had this discussion.
PJ, did you know that John Hancock produced an album?
I don't think. Was it a piano album?
Yes.
Of course it was a piano album. What do you think he was whistling?
It went aluminum. I mean, it was a big deal.
So, wait a minute. How many tracks were on it?
16.
And was it all ragtime?
All ragtime. So the half of it was my own compositions.
Uh-huh.
And the other half of it was compositions by Homer Denny.
Who?
Homer Denny. He was a very obscure calliopist from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yet another word I have to ask.
What's a calliope? He played a calliope.
What's a calliope?
It's, the calliope. Find some calliope music.
Tell me what it is.
But it's like an organ-ish kind of thing.
Okay, all right.
You have like the monkey grinder.
Okay, yeah.
Would play on the calliope. Uh-huh. And Homer Denny was a calliopist on a steamboat in Cincinnati that burned down. And he had written several nice little rags. And none of them had ever been recorded. So I did those. I did a couple by Arthur Marshall. Arthur Marshall, interestingly enough, was a student of Scott Joplin. Joplin lived at Marshall's parents' home in Sedalia. Here's a calliope.
Oh, it sounds like, those are whistles. That's not a piano, is it?
Well, it's a calliope. This is Waiting for the Robert E. Lee, is it not?
I don't know, but it's playing from a
Delta Queen. It's playing from the Delta Queen.
Yeah, this is... da 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 yeah, da da da.
How about
Waiting
that?
For the Robert E. Lee.
So 16 songs.
Yeah, yeah.
And how many of them did you sell?
So my fee for doing the record there for the Stomp Off record label,
okay,
was 300 albums.
Awesome.
So I got 300 albums and the master tapes. They didn't pay me anything to do the album, but I sold those albums at Six Flags while I was playing the piano.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I sold like 280.
You digitized one of them?
I've got it on a cassette tape.
You
got
to get that digitized.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't real happy with it.
But just for
because I was 18.
Memory.
I was 18 at the time. I've got a couple of the albums, the actual.
Really?
Yeah.
I would love to hear it. Now, do you have them on vinyl? Or?
Yeah, I've got the vinyl albums. Yeah, I've got a couple.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well.
Well, maybe some night when George Ann's out of town, you invite me out there, and we'll or even if George Ann's there,
my math teacher from Pattonville High School, I guess, passed away, and his wife, going through his stuff, he had a autographed album, and she sent it to me. She looked me up and she said, "Joe would want you to have this back."
That's so cool.
That was pretty nice.
Yeah. That is awesome.
My geometry teacher, which is. Very important if you're going to play snooker,
right,
to have a good sense of geometry.
Okay, get it out of your...
Joe
You've been
Vago
waiting all night to say how did it go today, John?
Well, I was not shooting well at all.
Did you win every game you played?
I did.
Yeah. And you played me in how many? Four?
Yeah, something like that.
It's getting hard to go and spend this time with
It's
you.
Hard. I know.
I'm glad we're getting reprieved now because the Cardinals are back.
We are.
And speaking of...
Yes.
That's on Thursday.
Opening day. You're going.
Yep, we're going to talk about it after this right here on KMOX.
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly. Sponsored by Insperity. HR that makes a difference. On News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Oh, yes. Thursday, the official kickoff of Louis Cardinal baseball season.
Wait.
A St. Louis day of obligation.
Cannot wait.
And there is nothing better than when those animals come into Busch Stadium with that music right there. The Clydesdales, man, that means the start of the baseball season.
They got the little fuzzy paws on the Clydesdales. That's how you know they're a Clydesdale.
So first you're going to go down to Kegs and Eggs.
There you go.
Which, by the way, if you haven't gotten your tickets, you can still get them. Go to KMOX.com/events. Yeah, and then you get your tickets to Kegs and Eggs. They'll feed you. They'll drink you. You get private bathrooms.
Mm.
Then you walk right across the street.
Just a stone's throw away.
Stone's throw away. You're in the ballpark. So at noon, they are opening the doors of Busch Stadium.
Game time is 3 o'clock.
At 12:05, the Cardinals will begin their pregame batting practice.
Ooh,
the Blue
nice.
Jays are scheduled for their batting practice at 1 p.m.
Yeah, nobody cares.
The pregame ceremonies will start at 2:25 p.m., including
yes.
the famous Budweiser Clydesdales, which will kick it off.
Clip-clopping down the warning track all around the stadium there on the dirt. Well, if they poop, we'll take care of it.
Yep, and there'll be an introduction of the Cardinal Hall of Famers.
Yeah, there they are, the red jackets out on the field.
There'll be a new one this
players.
Year.
Scott Rolen.
Scott Rolen, who's going into the Major League Baseball Hall of
yeah,
Fame.
Yeah, he's already in the Cardinal Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But now he's going to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
And he'll throw out the first pitch to Matt Holliday.
Very nice, who is also in the Cardinal Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Following,
I think, isn't? Yeah, he is. Okay.
Following the Hall of Famers will be the players
here
who come in the cars.
I don't know if they're going to be trucks or cars
or what are they in?
They're going to be Ford F-150s, if I had to guess.
Is that right?
And they're going to be red. And they're going to be coming in
red and white
in the wagon gate out there. They'll come through the wagon gate and drive around the stadium, waving to the fans. The screaming fans will be out there. It's going to be amazing, and you're going to get to meet this team, which I think might be the very best team that we put on the field in a very long time.
So I'm going to the game on Thursday, but I wouldn't be able to prove it to you.
Thanks for the ticket.
Well, there's no such thing as a ticket anymore.
What?
So. In the old days, you know, 4 years ago, you'd go to a ball game.
Yeah.
And you'd take your ticket. You'd show it to the person.
And
they'd scan your ticket.
And they give it back to you.
And then you get to keep your ticket.
It'd
be a souvenir. I have my ticket from the game that Mark McGwire hit his 70th home run.
You were there.
I have a ticket from the 1982 World Series Championship game. I was there.
Now, were you there for 70 or 62?
70. I was there for both 62 and 70.
Is that right?
Yeah.
70 was against, remember what team 70 was against? Anyone?
I don't. Was it the Cubs?
Number 70 was against?
Expos?
The Montreal Expos. Wow. PJ,
yeah.
Well done. In fact.
And by the way, he hit three that day.
Well, he should have. He was given credit for two. He hit the top of the wall. He actually had 71 home runs that year.
Right.
Because he hit the top of the wall and they didn't call it a home run. It was a home run. Had we had instant replay then.
Uh-huh.
Mark McGwire would have hit 71 home runs in 1998.
How about that?
Yeah.
So, but you don't get a ticket anymore. And in fact, I think I sent you some tickets earlier this week.
You did?
Yeah, yes. And unfortunately, everything's digital now, John. And so there's no longer the souvenir of, did you ever go to concerts when you were a kid and keep the ticket stubs?
No,
you know?
Of course.
Yeah, I did too.
I mean, you know, a memento.
Right, and it just doesn't exist anymore. I don't understand why, I mean, I understand the technology's moved on, but wouldn't it make sense for them to hand you a ticket when you walk in so that you have a memento?
You would think. I guess, can you print them off of the, what you call them here?
I guess you could print it off, but then all you got is a color Xerox page that anybody can print.
Well, but they've got, the tickets used to have the Cardinal players on them.
Yeah, and on the back it always had a discount to, like, Valvoline or, you know, get yourself a sandwich at Schnucks.
And who doesn't want a Valvoline discount? I mean, my heavens, that's got to be a coveted.
Or a sandwich at Schnucks or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
There's always something on the back.
And you can't do that anymore.
No. And so now, you know, I've been doling out tickets this week.
Yeah.
I'm a season ticket holder.
Because they used to, season ticket, they used to send you a whole book, right?
Yeah, I would get a. Literally, like 3 years ago, they stopped it, right at COVID.
Yeah.
They'd send you a binder, is what it looked like. Remember the old-fashioned binders when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Every game was there.
Your tickets are right
there. And then I'd get people would come by the office, and I'd give them their tickets, et cetera.
Right.
And here's your four tickets.
Huh.
Now I zap them to them. Yeah. You're going to my seats, brother. You've sat in my seats. Hey, do your best not to make the people around you upset with you.
I'm going to have the baby with me.
So, PJ, We go to games, and he's my best pal. I love this man, but he thinks he's Harry Carey, Jack Buck, and every other broadcaster rolled up into one.
Bob Costas.
Yeah, Bob Costas. Who was the guy with the Dodgers?
Vin Scully.
Yeah. What a beautiful day for baseball.
No, that's Bob Hamilton.
Well, anyway, so John will sit there, and he likes to call the game as if the people want to hear the guy sitting behind
him.
Well, they do. Say,
what I found
is
that
two and one.
Most people enjoy it. Most people think,
thank you
so much.
They're appeasing you. Especially the women are like, okay, whatever. The old people love it.
There's a hard hit ground ball to second up with it. Is Brendan Donovan over to first, and there's one away here in the top of the seventh inning for the Cardinals.
But the guy in front of me, season ticket holder, one game, almost turned around and grabbed Hancock by the throat and told him, are you done yet?
He was a jerk.
Well, I agree he was a jerk, but people don't want to hear. You know what I mean? If they wanted to listen to it, they'd have the earphones in their ears.
They don't need them when I'm sitting.
Well, what if I were to sit there and read off the names of Democratic legislators? Would you be okay with that?
No,
really loud?
Nobody goes to the game.
Nobody
to hear about
wants
Democratic
to hear
legislators.
Right? And people
What they want to know is what's happening down there. They
paid $100 to sit there and watch. They can see what's happening.
Just missed outside with that breaking ball. It's one ball, no strikes.
I find it to be annoying after a while, and I have to be the one that's like, if somebody's going to throw at my boy,
the left-handed swing,
I'm
going
to be there
Gorman
to help out.
The
but at the same time, I want to grab him by the throat and be like, John, nobody wants to hear this.
He's 0-for-1 with a hard hit flyout back in the second inning, and he's bats here in the fifth, and he's one ball, no strikes. Here's the pitch, swing and a miss. Strike one. We're 1-1. Gorman, off to a good start.
These people have paid good money to sit in seats that they're almost behind home plate.
They may not know that Gorman is even at the plate,
there's a huge big screen in the outfield with a picture of Gorman on it. Says what he did in the minor league. Said where he went. Even says what he likes as his favorite food. And tells you what he did. His last time was at bat.
He impressed a lot with his second base play this spring, and he's DHing today for the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. And the 1-1 pitch is headed home. So we get a line drive foul down the left field line. One ball and two strikes here for the Cardinals. 1-1 game here in the seventh inning.
I bet a lot of you are already annoyed. Now you know how the guy who sits in front of me feels at the ball game. But there is nothing better than opening day, and it's the start of the summer, right? I mean, because now every night we've got something to listen to on the radio.
Yeah, it's a spring.
Okay, but I mean,
it's not the start of summer. It's spring. Spring is starting right now.
Oh, boy. Man, it's bad enough that I got to go spend four games with you and get my teeth kicked in, and then I'm making a reference to the general season of baseball being a summer sport.
The boys of summer, they call it, Michael.
Hello. Hello. So for me, it's the start of summer, and it gives you something to go. Every night when you go home, you can turn it on the TV. You can listen to it on the radio when you're
in the car. Try not to miss a pitch.
Yeah, you can pay attention and keep an eye on where we stand in the standings. It's just, it helps pass the time.
There's a pop foul. It's coming back to the booth, Michael. Here it is. Oh, just over our heads. That's a strike. A high strike. Foul and out of play. One ball and two strikes.
But I'm disappointed that you don't get tickets anymore. You know what I mean?
You
don't get a physical ticket anymore. Because what if something historic happened? What if Jordan Walker hits a grand slam on opening day?
His first at bat in the big leagues.
Yeah, and I get to say, I was there. And somebody says, you were? And I would be like, hold on, let me show you the ticket.
Swing, and there's a high fly ball to deep left center field. It may go. Adios, home run, Walker, and the Cardinals lead it 4-0.
What a weak home run call that was. Adios.
There's no crowd noise, Michael.
Really? That's what you're going
to
go with?
Trying to
This phenom
myself.
Comes in and hits a grand slam.
All right, fine,
and
fine.
He comes up with, adios.
I hadn't thought about it. It was spontaneous.
Well, that's what it's supposed to be if you're a true play-by-play guy, and then somebody does something historic like, it's a grand slam in their first at bat.
You know, PJ, every time I see the back end of those Clydesdales, I think about Kelly.
He does. And, it's almost game time.
It's game time. That's is Ernie Hayes, the great Ernie Hayes. And let me say, Jeremy Boyer, the Cardinal organist, is phenomenal. I mean, he is extremely gifted. He's very good. We're very fortunate to have him. But Ernie Hayes, man.
Wow. It was awesome. So our pledge is no more politics and no more play-by-play, because up next, we have the Sports Insider.
Our Sports Insider.
Stick around.
I'm Cardinals outfielder Jordan Walker, and you're listening to the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
The National Football League. The Las Vegas, whatever they are, Raiders.
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly. Sponsored by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. On News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Oh, yes. Thursday, the official kickoff of Louis Cardinal baseball season.
Wait.
A St. Louis day of obligation.
Cannot wait.
And there is nothing better than when those animals come into Busch Stadium with that music right there. The Clydesdales, man, that means the start of the baseball season.
They got the little fuzzy paws on the Clydesdales. That's how you know they're a Clydesdale.
So first you're going to go down to Kegs and Eggs.
There you go.
Which, by the way, if you haven't gotten your tickets, you can still get them. Go to
KMOX.com/events.
Yeah, and there you get your tickets to Kegs and Eggs. They'll feed you. They'll drink you. You get private bathrooms.
Mm.
Then you walk right across the street.
Just a stone's throw away.
Stone's throw away. You're in the ballpark. So at noon, they are opening the doors of Busch Stadium.
Game time is 3 o'clock.
At 12:05, the Cardinals will begin their pregame batting practice.
Ooh,
the Blue
nice.
Jays are scheduled for their batting practice at 1 p.m.
Yeah, nobody cares.
The pregame ceremonies will start at 2:25 p.m., including
yes.
the famous Budweiser Clydesdales, which will kick it off.
Clip-clopping down the warning track all around the stadium there on the dirt. Well, if they poop, we'll take care of it.
Yep, and there'll be an introduction of the Cardinal Hall of Famers.
Yeah, there they are, the Red Jackets out on the field.
There'll be a new one this
players.
Year.
Scott Rolen.
Scott Rolen, who's going into the Major League Baseball Hall of
yeah,
Fame.
Yeah, he's already in the Cardinal Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But now he's going to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
And he'll throw out the first pitch to Matt Holliday.
Very nice, who's also in the Cardinal Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Following,
I think, isn't Yeah, he is. Okay.
Following the Hall of Famers will be the players
Here
who
they come
in the cars.
In
I don't
the,
know if they're going to be trucks or cars
they're
or what
be
are they
Ford,
in?
Ford F-150s, if I had to guess.
Is that right?
And they're going to be red. And they're going to be coming in
red and white
in the wagon gate out there. They'll come through the wagon gate and drive around the stadium, waving to the fans. The screaming fans will be out there. That's going to be amazing. And you're going to get to meet this team, which I think might be the very best team that we put on the field in a very long time.
So I'm going to the game on Thursday,
Are
but I
now?
Wouldn't be able to prove it to you.
Thanks for the ticket.
Well, there's no such thing as a ticket anymore.
What?
So. In the old days, you know, 4 years ago, you'd go to a ball game.
Yeah.
And you'd take your ticket. You'd
you
show it
ticket.
To the person.
Yeah,
they'd scan your ticket.
And they give it back to you.
And then you get to keep your ticket.
It's
It'd
a
be a souvenir. I have my ticket from the game that Mark McGwire hit his 70th home run.
You were there.
I have a ticket from
there.
The 1982 World Series championship game. I was there.
Now, were you there for 70 or 62?
70. I was there for both 62 and 70.
Is that right?
Yeah.
70 was against, remember what team 70 was against? Anyone?
I don't. Was it the Cubs?
Number 70 was against?
The Expos?
The Montreal Expos. PJ,
yeah.
Well done. In fact.
And by the way, he hit three that day.
Well, he should have. He was given credit for two. He hit the top of the wall. He actually had 71 home runs that year.
Right.
Because he hit the top of the wall and they didn't call it a home run. It was a home run. Had we had instant replay then.
Uh-huh.
Mark McGwire would have hit 71 home runs in 1998.
How about that?
Yeah.
So, but you don't get a ticket anymore. And in fact, I think I sent you some tickets earlier this week.
You did?
Yeah, yes. And unfortunately, everything's digital now, John. And so there's no longer the souvenir of, did you ever go to concerts when you were a kid and keep the ticket stubs?
No,
you know?
Of course.
Yeah, I did too.
I mean, you know, a memento.
Right, and it just doesn't exist anymore. I don't understand why, I mean, I understand the technology's moved on, but wouldn't it make sense for them to hand you a ticket when you walk in so that you have a memento?
You would think. I guess, can you print them off of the, what you call them here?
I guess you could print it off, but then all you got is a color Xerox page that anybody can print.
Well, but they've got, the tickets used to have the Cardinal players on them.
Yeah, remember? And on the back it always had a discount to, like, Valvoline or, you know, get yourself a sandwich at Schnucks.
And who doesn't want a Valvoline discount? I mean, my heavens, that's got to be a coveted.
Or a sandwich at Schnucks or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
There was always something on the back.
And
of
you
tickets.
Can't do that anymore.
No. And so now, you know, I've been doling out tickets this week.
Yeah.
I'm a season ticket holder.
Because they used to send you a whole book, right?
Yeah, I would get a... Literally, like 3 years ago, they stopped it, right at COVID.
Yeah.
They'd send you a binder, is what it looked like. Remember the old-fashioned binders when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Every game was there.
Your tickets are right
Yeah,
there.
And then I'd get people would come by the office, and I'd give them their tickets, et cetera.
Right.
And here's your four tickets.
Huh.
Now I zap them to them. Yeah, you're going to my seats, brother. You've sat in my seats. Hey, do your best not to make the people around you upset with you.
I'm going to have the baby with me.
So, PJ, we go to games, and he's my best pal. I love this man. But he thinks he's Harry Carey, Jack Buck, and you know, every other broadcaster rolled up into one.
Bob Costas.
Yeah, Bob Costas. who was the guy with the Dodgers?
Vin Scully.
Yeah. What a beautiful day for baseball.
No, that's Bob Hamilton.
Well, anyway, so John will sit there, and he likes to call the game as if the people want to hear the guy sitting behind
them
say,
what I found
here's
is
two and one.
Most people enjoy it. Most people think,
They're appeasing you so much. Especially the women are like, okay, whatever. The old people love it.
There's a hard hit ground ball to second up with it. Is Brendan Donovan over to first, and there's one away here in the top of the seventh inning for the Cardinals.
But the guy in front of me, season ticket holder, one game, almost turned around and grabbed Hancock by the throat and told him, are you done yet?
It was a jerk.
Well, I agree he was a jerk, but people don't want to hear, you know what I mean? If they wanted to listen to it, they'd have the earphones in their ears.
They don't need them when I'm sitting
there. Well, what if I were to sit there and read off the names of, you know, Democratic legislators? Would you be okay with that?
No,
really loud?
Nobody goes to the game to hear about Democratic legislators.
Right. People,
What they want to know is what's happening down there.
They paid $100 to sit there and watch. They can see what's happening.
Just missed outside with that breaking ball. It's one ball, no strikes.
I find it to be annoying after a while, and I have to be the one that's like, you know, because if somebody's going to throw at my boy,
the left-handed swing,
I'm
going
to be there to help out. But at the same time, I want to grab him by the throat and be like, John, nobody wants to hear this.
He's 0-for-1 with a hard hit flyout back in the second inning, and he's bats here in the fifth, and he's one ball, no strikes. Here's the pitch, swing and a miss. Strike one. We're 1-1. Gorman, off to a good start.
These people have paid good money to sit in seats that they're almost behind home plate.
They may not know that Gorman is even at the plate,
there's a huge big screen in the outfield with a picture of Gorman on it. Says what he did in the minor league. Said where he went. You know, even says what he likes as his favorite food. You know, and tells you what he did. His last time was at bat.
He impressed a lot with his second base play this spring, and he's DHing today for the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. And the 1-1 pitch is headed home, so we get a line drive foul down the left field line. One ball and two strikes here for the Cardinals. 1-1 game here in the seventh inning.
I bet a lot of you are already annoyed. now you know how the guy who sits in front of me feels at the ball game. But there is nothing better than opening day, and it's the start of the summer, right? I mean, because now every night we've got something to listen to on the radio.
Yeah, it's a spring.
Okay, but I mean,
it's not the start of summer. It's spring. Spring is starting right now.
Oh, boy. Hey, man, it's bad enough that I got to go spend four games with you and get my teeth kicked in, and then I'm making a reference to the general season of baseball being a summer sport.
The boys of summer, they call it, Michael.
Hello. Hello. So for me, it's the start of summer, and it gives you something to go. Every night when you go home, you can turn it on the TV. You can listen to it on the radio when you're
in the car. Try not to miss a pitch.
Yeah, you can you know, pay attention and keep an eye on where we stand in the standings. It's just, it helps pass the time.
There's a pop foul. It's coming back to the booth, Michael. Here it is. Oh, just over our heads. That's a strike. A high strike. Foul and out of play. One ball and two strikes.
But I'm disappointed that you don't get tickets anymore. You know what I mean?
You
don't get a physical ticket anymore. Because what if something historic happened? What if Jordan Walker hits a grand slam on opening day?
His first at bat in the big leagues.
Yeah, and I get to say, I was there. And somebody says, you were? And I would be like, hold on, let me show you the ticket.
Swing, and there's a high fly ball to deep left center field. It may go. Adios, home run, Walker, and the Cardinals lead it 4-0.
What a weak home run call that was. Adios.
There's no crowd noise, Michael.
Adios, really? That's what you're going to go with?
Trying to
This phenom
myself.
Comes in and hits a grand slam.
All right, fine,
and
fine.
He comes up with, adios.
I hadn't thought about it. It was spontaneous.
Well, that's what it's supposed to be if you're a true play-by-play guy, and then somebody does something historic like, it's a grand slam in their first at bat.
You know, PJ, every time I see the back end of those Clydesdales, I think about Kelly.
Yeah. All right. Well, he does. And, hey, it's almost game time.
It's game time. This is Ernie Hayes, the great Ernie Hayes. And let me say, Jeremy Boyer, the Cardinal organist, is phenomenal. I mean, he is extremely gifted. He's very good. We're very fortunate to have him.
So,
but Ernie Hayes, man.
Wow. He was awesome. So our pledge is no more politics and no more play-by-play, because up next, we have the Sports Insider.
Our Sports Insider.
Stick around.
I'm Cardinals outfielder Jordan Walker, and you're listening to the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
The National Football League. The Oakland Raiders.
We're joined, as we are every Monday night here on the Voice of St. Louis, by our sports insider, our NFL insider, none other than Chicago's own John Hancock. Big news coming out of the Baltimore Ravens this week, John, is Lamar Jackson has demanded a trade. What's the story?
Yeah, Chicago's own. I like that one. Yeah, Lamar Jackson requesting a trade out of Baltimore. Not a shock. He's been looking for a new contract there for the better part of a year. They haven't been willing to give him what he thinks he's worth, and I would argue rightfully so. And honestly, it's tough to kind of take sides on this one. I think both parties are acting in their in their own best interest. Neither is really treating the other unfairly. I will say that Lamar Jackson does not have an agent, and I think that may be a decision he'll come to regret, as he's kind of locked out. All by himself, him and his mom trying to find a deal here. Where an agent, they take 3%. He could have probably used an agent to get a contract locked down.
If his mom gets him $45 million, he's getting a phone call from me. Is all I'm going to tell you. We've been here 15 years.
I'm telling you, I'm calling Daniel Jones's agent. If he got him $40 million a year, give the guy whatever he wants. He'll get you your money.
What happens if they don't trade him?
Yeah, so, he could sit out, hypothetically. They put the non-exclusive franchise tag on him, but he will not make the money, I don't believe, if he doesn't play.
So isn't this whole thing a response to the ridiculous contract that Deshaun Watson signed?
Yep, absolutely. The Browns in Cleveland, as they're wont to do, really screwed the pooch on this one. They gave him all kinds of unprecedented guaranteed money for a quarterback. He's a good quarterback, don't get me wrong, but he was a year out of the league, not to mention the moral conundrum he poses with his off-the-field behavior. That Lamar doesn't have any of that. Lamar is a unanimous MVP, arguably has performed at a higher level at his peak than Deshaun Watson at his peak, so he wants that money, but teams around the league don't want Cleveland dictating what they're going to do with their pocketbooks.
So where does Lamar Jackson end up? There's a lot of teams that are obviously looking for a quarterback. One of them might be the Green Bay Packers. Where does Lamar Jackson make sense?
So obviously he could stay with Baltimore. How his franchise tag is structured is that if any team makes him an offer and Baltimore doesn't match it, he has the right to sign that. But that team then has to give Baltimore 2 first-round picks. Which may be a roadblock for him. The Colts obviously have been on the quarterback carousel the past few seasons. Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers, they've been all over the place. They could get a younger guy in, maybe have peace for the future. They have some high draft picks this year they could certainly trade. Washington's another option. Move from Baltimore to D.C. He could go there. And some whispers, potentially. Bill Belichick may shock the world. Robert Kraft said it's Bill Belichick's call if they want to trade for Lamar. And that'd be fun to see.
Huh. I wonder how he would do in a Bill Belichick program.
Oh, he's a good quarterback. He'd be fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, let's transition to Thursday. It's going to be a day of obligation here in St. Louis as our Cardinals broke camp today. They're moving north towards St. Louis right now to get ready for the start of this season. We spent a lot of time talking about pitching, John. How about this lineup that we've got, though? Boy, they got some big bats, don't we?
Yeah, this is a very, very exciting lineup. I think we have one of the best offenses in the, not just National League, but the majors. Top to bottom, I think we have depth. We got, a little bit of everything, and it takes a lot of pressure off of guys. I think like Tyler O'Neill, if he has a slow start, there should be enough bats going in the lineup to, let him get his feet under him after he missed some time being hurt. And I think taking that pressure off of these guys is going to be you know, major factor in this season, letting people get hot, not having to feel like it's on them when they step up to the plate every time.
So Ollie's got the middle of the order right now, 3-4-5. He's got Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, no surprise, and Wilson Contreras in the 5 spot. Do you think that will hold for the season, and is Contreras enough protection for Nolan Arenado?
Yeah, I think Contreras is, you know, very good protection. I think there's a strong chance that'll hold for this season. You know, you want to give it to a veteran guy. You know, he's been around. Obviously, it's going to be his first time in an opening day in St. Louis. So I'm sure the adrenaline will be flowing for Contreras. And I think it makes more sense to stick with a veteran there than go with one of these younger guys. As I mentioned, less pressure, unless he feels the pressure, obviously, to live up to the contract. But it's a strong middle of the order. And Jordan Walker, you know, I think there's a strong chance he could end up in that 5-hole, if not the 2-hole, depending on how he starts the year.
Yeah, he's 20 years old, though, and baseball is going to adjust to him. And he did slow down towards the second half of spring training. And you've got to make some accommodation for a player that young. Then he's probably going to have some rough patches throughout the course of the year. So I kind of like where the Cardinals have him situated in the order, batting 7th or 8th. It's really very little pressure. I wanted to ask you, John Hancock, our sports insider from Chicago, Illinois, joins us. I wanted to ask you about Jack Flaherty. His last few starts of spring, at least for me, were somewhat concerning. How about you?
Yeah, you know, would have liked to see him end spring training sharper, but hopefully it was just able to knock the rust off, and he's ready to go. You know, Michael is obviously getting the opening day start. I think it's his second one, too, which is, you know, would have liked to see Flaherty be a no-brainer decision for that opening day start. But, you know, based on his spring performance, I think it does make sense to go with Michael, especially coming off the very strong World Baseball Classic performance.
Well, it's going to be exciting. It all gets started on Thursday. People can listen to the games right here on KMOX, our sister station. Well, on Sunday, we'll carry the, well, not on Sunday, it'll be on Saturday, the 5-0 St. Louis City soccer team. How about this team, John?
How about this team? You know, I was telling you guys to watch out for this crew, this sporting club going into this year. And, you know, they've proven me right.
What is it that is distinguishing the soccer club for you, son, as you watch St. Louis City SC out there?
You know, they got that dog in them. They have heart, and you know, you can't coach that. They're playing for the city. They're representing every time they step out on the pitch, and some dominating wins lately. You know, people were saying got lucky. Now they're blowing teams out, undefeated, and we'll see how long this can last. But have to be the favorites, in my estimation.
I guess you're getting paid by the cliche this evening. And before we let you go, John Hancock, our sports insider, the St. Louis Battlehawks with a 26-6 convincing win over whatever team that was they played last weekend. This is an exciting, fun ball club as well.
It is, but we got to get over that D.C. defender hump, 0-2. They're the team to beat. They look to be a wagon, but you know, I think it's probably – I'd love to see these guys in the championship. And before I go, the Connecticut Huskies lock it in, college basketball champions.
Oh, there
really?
You go.
Now, did you have them before when you made your brackets? Or
I had them losing to Alabama in the title game.
Okay.
So, I thought they were going to be a wagon going in. They were very underseeded as a 4. You know, they're playing like a 1 seed this tournament. And you got Miami, FAU, and San Diego State. I think they're going to run the table. Might not even be close.
John Jr., before we let you go, if people wanted to follow you, are you on social media? They might be able to follow you to get some of these fresh takes.
Yes, I'm on Instagram, Real John Hancock. That's RealJohnHancock. And on Twitter at RealJRHancock.
Well, how
not
about
to be confused with at John R. Hancock.
I'm sure people know how to spell John Hancock. John Hancock, we thank you. How's the weather in Chicago tonight?
Not too bad. I was able to, you know, walk back from the office, walk to the gym, in shorts, walk back from the gym. It was a little chilly, but not too bad.
All right. I could have gone all day without that visual. Thank you so much for joining us. When we come back, folks, it's the most riveting 8 minutes in radio. Shawn Michael Lyle is going to stride into this studio and tell us things that we just simply won't believe. And until next week, of course. So Michael Kelly is here. Matt Pajeski is there. We've had our sports insider. We've talked a little serious stuff. Next hour, we're going to have some fun right here on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
I'm Cardinals outfielder Jordan Walker, and you're listening to the Voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
The National Football League. The Oakland Raiders.
We are joined, as we are every Monday night here on the Voice of St. Louis, by our sports insider, our NFL insider, none other than Chicago's own John Hancock. Big news coming out of the Baltimore Ravens this week, John, is Lamar Jackson has demanded a trade. What's the story?
Yeah, Chicago's own. I like that one. Yeah, Lamar Jackson requesting a trade out of Baltimore, not a shock. He's been looking for a new contract there for the better part of a year. They haven't been willing to give him what, you know, he thinks he's worth. And, you know, I would argue rightfully so. And, you know, honestly, it's tough to kind of take sides on this one. I think both parties are acting in their, you know, in their own best interest. Neither is really treating the other unfairly. I will say that Lamar Jackson does not have an agent. And I think that may be a decision he'll come to regret, as, you know, he's kind of locked out, you know, all by himself, him and his mom trying to find a deal here where an agent, you know, they take 3%. He could have probably used an agent to get a contract locked down.
If his mom gets him $45 million, he's getting a phone call from me is all I'm going to tell you. We've been here 15 years.
I'm telling you, I'm calling Daniel Jones' agent. If he got him $40 million a year, give the guy whatever he wants. He'll get you your money.
What happens if they don't trade him?
Yeah, so, I mean, he could sit out, hypothetically. They put the non-exclusive franchise tag on him, but he will not make the money, I don't believe, if he doesn't play.
So isn't this whole thing a response to the ridiculous contract that Deshaun Watson signed?
Yep, absolutely. The Browns in Cleveland, as they're wont to do, really screwed the pooch on this one. They gave him all kinds of unprecedented guaranteed money for a quarterback. He's a good quarterback, you know, don't get me wrong, but he was a year out of the league, not to mention the moral conundrum he poses with his off-the-field behavior, that Lamar doesn't have any of that. Lamar is a unanimous MVP, you know, arguably has performed at a higher level at his peak than Deshaun Watson at his peak, so he wants that money, but teams around the league don't want Cleveland dictating what they're going to do with their pocketbooks.
So where does Lamar Jackson end up? There's a lot of teams that are obviously looking for a quarterback. One of them might be the Green Bay Packers. Where does Lamar Jackson make sense?
So obviously he could stay with Baltimore. How his franchise tag is structured is that if any team makes him an offer and Baltimore doesn't match it, he has the right to sign that. But that team then has to give Baltimore 2 first-round picks, which may be a roadblock for him. The Colts obviously have been on the quarterback carousel the past few seasons. Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers, they've been all over the place. They could get a younger guy in, maybe have peace for the future. They have some high draft picks this year they could certainly trade. Washington's another option. Move from Baltimore to D.C. He could go there. And some whispers, potentially. Bill Belichick may shock the world. Robert Kraft said it's Bill Belichick's call if they want to trade for Lamar. And that'd be fun to see.
Huh. I wonder how he would do in a Bill Belichick program.
Oh, he's a good quarterback. He'll be fine. He'd be fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, let's transition to Thursday's going to be a day of obligation here in St. Louis as our Cardinals broke camp today. They're moving north towards St. Louis right now to get ready for the start of this season. We spent a lot of time talking about pitching, John. How about this lineup that we've got, though? Boy, they got some big bats, don't we?
Yeah, this is a very, very exciting lineup. I think we have one of the best offenses in the, not just National League, but the majors. You know, top to bottom, I think we have depth. We got, you know, a little bit of everything, and it takes a lot of pressure off of guys. I think like Tyler O'Neill, if he has a slow start, there should be enough bats going in the lineup to, you know, let him get his feet under him after he missed some time being hurt. And I think taking that pressure off of these guys is going to be, you know, major factor in this season, letting people get hot, not having to feel like it's on them when they step up to the plate every time.
So So Ollie's got the middle of the order right now, 3, 4, 5. He's got Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, no surprise, and Wilson Contreras in the 5 spot. Do you think that will hold for the season? And is Contreras enough protection for Nolan Arenado?
Yeah, I think Contreras is, you know, very good protection. I think there's a strong chance that'll hold for this season. You know, you want to give it to a veteran guy. You know, he's been around. Obviously, it's going to be his first time in an opening day in St. Louis. So I'm sure the adrenaline will be flowing for Contreras. And I think it makes more sense to stick with a veteran there than go with one of these younger guys. As I mentioned, less pressure, unless he feels the pressure, obviously, to live up to the contract. But it's a strong middle of the order. And Jordan Walker, you know, I think there's a strong chance he could end up in that 5-hole, if not the 2-hole. Depending on how he starts the year.
Yeah, he's 20 years old, though, and baseball is going to adjust to him. And he did slow down towards the second half of spring training. And you've got to make some accommodation for a player that young. Then he's probably going to have some rough patches throughout the course of the year. So I kind of like where the Cardinals have him situated in the order, batting 7th or 8th. It's really very little pressure. I wanted to ask you, John Hancock, our sports insider from Chicago, Illinois, joins us. I wanted to ask you about Jack Flaherty. His last few starts of spring, at least for me, were somewhat concerning. How about you?
Yeah, you know, would have liked to see him end spring training sharper, but hopefully it was just able to knock the rust off, and he's ready to go. You know, Michaelis obviously getting the opening day start. I think it's his second one, too, which is, you know, would have liked to see Flaherty be a no-brainer decision for that opening day start. But, you know, based on his spring performance, I think it does make sense to go with Michaelis, especially coming off the very strong World Baseball Classic performance.
Well, it's going to be exciting. It all gets started on Thursday. People can listen to the games right here on KMOX, our sister station. Well, on Sunday, we'll carry the, not on Sunday, it'll be on Saturday, the 5-0 St. Louis City soccer team. How about this team, John?
How about this team? You know, I was telling you guys to watch out for this crew, this sporting club going into this year. And, you know, they've, yet again, they've proven me right.
What is it that is distinguishing the soccer club for you, son, as you watch St. Louis City SC out there?
You know, they got that dog in them. They have heart, and you know, you can't coach that. They're playing for the city. They're representing every time they step out on the pitch, and some dominating wins lately. You know, people were saying got lucky. Now they're blowing teams out, undefeated, and we'll see how long this can last. But have to be the favorites, in my estimation.
I guess you're getting paid by the cliche this evening. So, and before we let you go, John Hancock, our sports insider, the St. Louis Battlehawks with a 26-6 convincing win over whatever team that was they played last weekend. This is an exciting, fun ball club as well.
It is, but we got to get over that DC defender hump. 0-2, they're the team to beat. They look to be a wagon, but you know, I think it's probably – I'd love to see these guys in the championship. And before I go, the Connecticut Huskies lock it in, college basketball champions.
Oh, there
really?
You go.
Now, did you have them before when you made your brackets? Or
I had them losing to Alabama in the title game.
Okay.
So, I you know, I thought they were going to be a wagon going in. They were very underseeded as a 4. You know, they're playing like a 1 seed this tournament. And you got Miami, FAU, and San Diego State. I think they're going to run the table. Might not even be close.
John Jr., before we let you go, if people wanted to follow you, are you on social media? They might be able to follow you to get some of these fresh takes.
Yes, I'm on Instagram, Real John Hancock. That's RealJohnHancock. And on Twitter at RealJRHancock.
Well, how
not
about
to be
that?
Confused with at John R. Hancock.
I'm sure people know how to spell John Hancock. John Hancock, we thank you. How's the weather in Chicago tonight?
Not too bad. I was able to, you know, walk back from the office, walk to the gym, in shorts, walk back from the gym. It was a little chilly, but not too bad.
All right. I could have gone all day without that visual. Thank you so much for joining us. When we come back, folks, it's the most riveting 8 minutes in radio. Shawn Michael Lyle is going to stride into this studio and tell us things that we just simply won't believe. And until next week, of course. So Michael Kelly is here. Matt Pajeski is there. We've had our sports insider. We've talked a little serious stuff. Next hour, we're going to have some fun right here on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.